Good morning, church. It's a great joy to be with you once again. We shall continue on our series of studies in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. We look this morning at verse 14 and 15. The title of the message this morning, Jesus Heals Peter's Mother-in-Law. And it will read as following. I'm reading from the ESV. Matthew chapter 8, we read from verse 14 and 15.
Matthew 8, verse 14, verse 15.
And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. We shall begin with prayer before we proceed. Baba wethu osezulwini yisebe nkosi Jesu siyabonga siyakudumisa nkosi ekseni siyakuvuma ukuba uNkulunkulu siyavuma baba ukuba wena wehla ezulwini lakho wehlela emhlabeni ukuba uphile lenampilo obungcwele kuba lenampilo obungcwele ibekwe phezulu kwethu sahamba kulona mhlaba sibe ngabantwana bakho siyavuma nkosi wafa emnqamlezweni wabulawa Jehova olungileyo wabulawa ngezona zethu wavuka ngelanga lesithathu wanyukela ezulwini lakho nkosi yethu siyakudumisa ke namanje ekuseni baba ngoba baba siyavuma futhi siyazi nkosi ukuthi ngelinye ilanga nathi siyawundlula kulona mhlaba sesikholiwe nguwe sivuke enkulunkulu nomusa sivukele ezulwini lakho khuluma nathi namanje ekuseni ngezwi lakho khuluma nkosi yami ngenceku yakho khuluma baba ngathi simile ngaphambi kwakho silikhulume izwi lakho Nkosi Jesu kuba livakale kahle ezindlebeni zabantwana bakho. Siyakhuleka siyanxusa konke lokhu ngegama lika Christu Jesu elingapheleli indawo. Amen.
Amen.
Church, there are times in life where life itself does not seem to be a blessing. When breathing and living does not seem to be exciting anymore. Sometimes it is when you are laying sick in bed at home. Whereby you want to do something but you cannot do anything. Even if it's temporal sickness like a fever. Such challenges in life or in your body might make you wish that you could exchange your body with someone else sometimes. And that is partly what we see from our text this morning. After Jesus' encounter with the centurion, as we have seen that last week, the Bible tells us that he went into
Capernaum.
So we see him going to Capernaum, and then he went to the synagogue. After the synagogue, the Bible tells us that he went to Peter's house where we found a woman laying sick with a fever. And without being surprised, we know he healed her. This is not a surprise to us because Jesus, we've seen him 3 weeks ago healing a leper, healing a sickness or a disease that was incurable. And last week, we saw him healing someone on a distance, healing a centurion's servant. That is his work. He heals. But this morning, there are just three movements I would like us to see from these two passages. From these two verses. Three important movements.
Firstly,
Jesus entered the house.
Jesu ukeni ndlu.
What do I want you to get from there? I want us, church, to see the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first point. Looking at the humility of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. It reads as following, verse 14. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever.
Ha Petros ya kena o bone matswale wa hae a robetse a tshwere ke feberu.
Friends, we have seen the humility of the leper 3 weeks ago, whereby a leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ and begged him for mercy.
Re bone monna wa lepera a ithoba pela Jesu a kopa mohau mo rena Jesu.
We have also seen the humility of the centurion last week, whereby this well-respected man, a man who had nothing to lose, came before the Lord Jesus Christ, begging for mercy for his servant who was laying at home sick.
Re bone le bekeng e fitileng monna wa morui a latlang ho morena Jesu a ithoba pela hae a kopela mosebetsi wa hae o na kula a le hae.
A high rank officer coming to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a high rank officer, but a Roman officer. Church, a Roman coming to a Jew.
Ene le monna wa moroma wa lesole e se lesole fela e le lesole le phahameng haholo.
He humbled himself. Asked the Lord's mercy for his servant who was at home paralyzed.
His
man had everything going in his life. He had everything. He had nothing to lose.
You
see him coming to a fisher, to a man whose following is just fishermen under his command. He humbled himself. Having seen the church, the sight we have not seen thoroughly is the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's humility, we have not seen it. Of course, he wanted to go to the centurion's house and heal the servant, but the centurion said no. He wanted to go there, but we have not seen thoroughly the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to go to the centurion's house. Probably everybody would have wanted to go there. Probably it was a huge house because this man was a man who was rich, is a man with everything. Anyone would want to go there. But from this verse before us, friends, I want to argue that Jesus doesn't care what kind of a home, what kind of a house you have, as long as there are people calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in that house, he will be found there. Before us is a fisherman's house. There is nothing special about this home, friends. It's a fisherman's house. There is nothing to go see there. There is nothing extraordinary you can hope to find there. Perhaps the only food they had there was just fish. Perhaps the house was just thinking fish, I don't know. Nothing extraordinary that would have dragged or caused the Lord Jesus Christ to want to go to this place. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered this house. The Lord Jesus Christ was ready to eat what they were eating in that house. He was ready to sleep in the very same house where they will sleep. He was ready to do whatever they do in that house, regardless of how the house looked in the eyes of men.
Unaikemisa itoweza, say it to one country,
but Maybe you're wondering. So what's the point? We are just asking, so what's the point? What is the
big deal?
Ask yourself a question. How many of us will go to a poor man's house and eat his food? If you don't visit people, you will not even understand what I'm talking about.
Friends,
I visit people. There was a time when me and my wife went to visit the family down here. The first thing they did was to offer us bread and tea. Friends, tears filled my eyes. The tea they gave. Those of us who grew up in the rural areas will know. When you take sugar and burn sugar and make tea. Look at the bread they gave, my friend. I think it was a homemade bread. It didn't look like something that can come from a bakery. How many of us today as Christians are willing to go to poor people's houses and be part of them? How many? To sleep there. Remember, friends, Jesus is going to this house, but he had a choice of going to a centurion's house, but there he is in Peter's house of fish.
I
don't know, friends, if we don't see the humility of Christ there. He would have gone to a rich man's house and ate a dessert after a lovely meal. But he chose to come to this house. I want you to notice, the Bible says he entered the house. The first thing Jesus noticed in this house was the big TV. No. That is not what he saw.
Abona TV home.
He didn't go to the house and looked around and see how are these people doing. He didn't see a big TV here. The first thing Jesus saw was a need in this home. The first thing Jesus realized he had to do in this house is to become a servant, though he is king. That's all that mattered to him. He emptied himself. He appreciated to be in this house. And in his humility, he proved that indeed he is Emmanuel, God with us. He made himself nothing, but he humbled himself before these people. He became a humble servant of God, though a son of God. Revealing himself to be a savior, but also a friend. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Bible does not say anyway that Peter was a poor man.
But
Peter was a fisherman. A job of the unskilled. This morning in prayer we read that these were common people. They were not even educated, so says the Bible. What is the point? You cannot even compare Peter's house with the centurion's house. Peter did not even have a servant. His mother-in-law was serving in the house before she got sick. Yet Jesus entered such a house. Unlike you and I, my friend, we are too much of ourselves. We think at times we are better than Jesus. We discriminate what people have and where people live.
Some
have created a theology that says prideful talk is my testimony. Not long ago, we visited Secunda, me and my lovely wife again. When we go to
Secunda,
we had a testimony that came from Mamfundis, the pastor's wife.
We have been told about this testimony.
In Secunda.
Secunda.
She's saying to her members, how could you be wearing clothes from Pep and Jet when you are a Christian? How can this
be?
How can you live in such small houses and you claim to be the children of God? This cannot be.
Jesus Christ,
friends, that is not the Christian testimony. We discriminate. Jesus did not discriminate. People like this act to be the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are forgetting the very Jesus Christ that he humbled himself. He did not even have a place to call his home. Tell me, friends, how many of today's superstars, pastors, will go to a poor man's house and eat the poor man's food? Most of us as leaders of the churches today, we don't even know what our people eat.
If you see
a man wearing a suit going to another person's house, he might be a politician looking for votes. He's not the leader of the church. I promise to wait for you. Have mercy, Lord. Where is the humility? Where, friends? But Jesus didn't mind. Friends, I want to tell you that even today, Jesus doesn't mind. Jesus will come to your home as long as you continue to walk with him.
Of course,
the Bible tells us he does not dwell in temples made by human hands. He dwells in the heavens. He dwells before thousands and thousands of angels. He dwells before the glory and the splendor of his Father. Yet this Jesus Christ does not mind coming to any home.
He's
able to come today and visit you. Regardless who you are, what you have.
Why?
Because he knows that his presence is all that we need in times of sorrow, in times of trouble. He knows that only his presence will comfort us in those days of pain and perplexity. But this verse also suggests that Jesus was welcomed in this house. His presence was needed in this house. Unlike in Nazareth, where he went before, they rejected him, rejected the Savior who came to save them. You might think you're not rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ in your own house.
It's
what we see today. In most of our houses, Christ is rejected, is not welcome. There are many people who would like to have a conversation in a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday here in the church, but they will not, listen to me very carefully, they will not take him with them to their houses. They will not take him with. They are not willing to walk with him side by side. They are not willing to teach their children the ways of the Lord. How do you know this? How can you see this? Nothing in that home suggests the presence of the Lord. There is no prayer in that home. There is no respect towards one another in the home. There is no love of the husband and the honor of the wife one to one another. There is no love and care. There is no obedience from the children towards their own parents. There is no final authority. Every word goes. There is no Christianity at all. Quarrels the whole time. But most of the time it's self-centeredness that runs the home. Work and career is important. Business is important. The PlayStation and the TV is more important.
TV le PlayStation
in most home where he is welcome, but he's welcome with few conditions. But what you see here, friends. Jesus is a humble Savior. He will not discriminate. But most importantly, He does not need to give you a new beautiful home before He visits you. He will not give you a better home that you have before He comes to your home. And when He comes to your home, all that matters most is the concerns that you have. It is not your furniture. He's not attracted to your car. It is not your plates and your cups that you have, but the concern that is in the house. The Apostle Paul reminds us, we read this morning, Philippians chapter number 2. Reminds us of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Verse 5 to 8.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was a form was in a form of God, did not count equality with God. He did not count equality with God as something to grasp by force. What did he do? He emptied himself and taking a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, the death of the cross. Paul here reminds us, friends, how low did Jesus have to go or condescend from his height? How low did he have to? Oh, to become man. To mingle with his people. To be one with his people regardless of where they are, what they have. A God who does not want to make his people shine bright and then visit them, but a God who visits them before he can make his people shine bright. He's willing to enter. He's willing to come to each and everyone's house and home. Why? Because every home needs him. Every house needs his presence. Every house needs his touch. His grace. His grace. His love. The question is, friends, is he welcomed in your home? Because he's willing to just humble himself and enter. He entered Peter's home. But when he entered Peter's home, something happened. Secondly, Jesus saw a woman sick with fever.
Father,
I want you to see from here, friends, it's very important for me. There is no little concern before Jesus. There is no little concern before Jesus.
Verse 14 again.
And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with fever. Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed a centurion's servant. Jesus healed many people who were sick and had dangerous and incurable diseases.
And this is
important for us to bring before you, because it's easy to think that only those with, under quotation mark, big problems become Jesus' main concern.
We think those
people with big concerns catches or attracts the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that in today's healing movement, whatever is going on. You can see it's happening today. If you don't have a wheelchair, your case is not important. If you're not on a wheelchair, you don't come to bother the pastor with your fever. You must have a wheelchair to attract attention. Those little concerns does not matter anymore. Why is that so? How are they going to be popular if they cure fever? But we see something different with the Lord Jesus Christ. With him, there is nothing of little concern. I'm saying this, friends, because it is possible for us to think that there are things that are insignificant. We might think that there are things that are insignificant to bring before the Lord. We might think that he does not care much about your little concerns. Of course, friends, the Bible tells us that this woman had a very severe fever when you look in the Gospel of Luke. But friends, fever may not always be a great concern. Fever is normal and it comes and it goes, making sure that we forget to bring in the Lord in the process whereby we are caught up in this fever. We forget the Lord because we can sort this thing out ourselves. And I know, friends, that there are different forms and kinds of fevers and flus this day, but the point I want to bring, it signifies or symbolizes a little concern. It reminds us of that attitude whereby we think there are things of little concern to bring before God. We think we will not bother God with this one. Friends, there is nothing of little concern before the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus entered the house, he saw this woman lying sick with fever. The Bible says in verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left. Another point that I just want you to realize here. Peter's mother-in-law did not call for the Lord Jesus Christ.
I want
you to see the grace of God.
He
did not even call for the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't ask him to heal her. Friends, there are times in life where Jesus Christ just comes in into your life and touch your life without you being concerned about it or you bringing death unto him. That is what is happening right here. And friends, we know that there are things in life that you did not even bother praying about. Things that you are not even aware that you need, friends. You don't pray about it. Yet, you have obtained it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is gracious.
Mujimu umuhau.
Even when we think we have things of little concern. Asking for it. Friends, that is an encouragement to us. Fever may not be a serious thing, my friends. It may not be as serious as leprosy. But the Lord Jesus Christ put it upon himself to touch her. Regardless of how insignificant that may be, he touched her. It encourages us. Jesus is concerned. He concerns himself about our minutest details of life. Friends, everyone here have experienced the common grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can walk this morning. You can see this morning. You can hear this morning. You can raise your voice. You can lift up your hands. You can do whatever you want to do this morning. You have everything that you need. You may not have things that you want, but you have all that you need, my friend. You have things we never asked for. Because of the common grace of God. Even the things that seems to be of little concern. The point I want to bring to you. Those things of little concern did not stop Jesus, or does not, let me speak in this term, does not stop Jesus
to
come and touch. It did not do in the life of Peter's mother-in-law. Things of little concern, they are not unseen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Fever may be something of that seems to be insignificant, my friend. But I want you to be reminded. You need to bring everything to God. Everything. That is what this is reminding us. Bring everything to God. He cares for you. He cares. Friends, some of you here are still carrying things. Things of little concern.
Sometimes
you bring these things to the Lord, but you never leave it there with him. You always take it back with you. Leave it with the Lord. Leave it with him. Let us not forget that Jesus loves us. He cares for us. He cares for all our needs. He knows even the number of our hair in our head. Things that we don't concern ourselves with, he concerns himself with. There is nothing of little concern before Jesus. When you bring everything to him, You just prove to yourself and you prove to everyone else that Jesus is in control of your life. There is nothing in this life that you carry by yourself. He's in control of your life. You no longer live for yourself. You no longer have things that you carry through your own strength. You no longer belong to yourself but to Him. You may not be able to come to Him as the leper did. You may not be able to have someone interceding for you as the centurion did for his own servant, but the Lord Jesus Christ still cares for you.
Never
lose heart. He cares. Never be discouraged. He's able to see your desperation. He's able to feel your pain. People may think that you have something of little concern. They may not be praying for you. Friends, nothing is of little concern before Jesus. Never take anything as something of little concern yourself. Every concern that we have needs the power of Jesus. We see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Usually, friends, fever does not go immediately. Anyone who had had fever before knows that fever does not go immediately. But the point is that every little concern needs the power of Jesus. As we see here, it was not the case. As soon as Jesus touched the woman, the fever left her immediately. We need the power of God in our lives. Whatever we have, whatever difficulty we may be going through, we need the power of God. Another thing that you need to see here. When Jesus come to a person's house, He does not leave that house the same. He makes a difference. Most importantly, when He touches someone, that person's life does not remain the same. It is quite obvious then, friend, that Jesus brings real comfort to those who are afflicted. Because there is nothing of little concern with Jesus.
All
that you need to do is to cast all of your burdens upon Him because He cares.
So when I was telling
you, and He will be there for you. Thirdly, when Jesus touched her, the Bible says she rose and served. She rose and served. I think it's important, church, that we may be reminded that we are healed to serve. You are healed to serve. Verse 15. He touched her hand, and the fever left, and she rose and began to serve him. First thing that you need to notice here is that she rose and began to serve. This emphasizes the seriousness of little concerns, of little things that we think they are of little concerns. The seriousness of little things in our lives. It is such a little thing that prevented or stopped her from serving.
What were you doing?
But she was not able to serve. The seriousness of little things. Difficulties will hinder our serving and our faithfulness with the Lord. Friends, Jesus has healed you to serve.
General,
if I have to speak to all of us, Jesus has saved you to serve.
Hanka bua le ba le rona ka ofela morena Jesu o re pulusitse gore re sebetse.
As she heals this woman,
Haforisa ona wa mofumahadi,
saving this woman from the fever,
a mopholosa mona mo feberu,
you are also being saved.
Le wena
to serve.
Le wena wa pholosa gore o sebetse.
To serve one another.
Go sebetse o thusa batho ba bang.
To serve the Lord.
Go sebeletsa Modimo.
To serve the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Go sebeletsa putheo ya Modimo.
Listen to what Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says.
Mamela buka ya Galatia chapter 5 verse 13 e reng.
For you were called to freedom, brothers. Freedom. Freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another.
Leskela sebedisa tokoloa ya lona o fepana ma empa sebeletsana le thusaneng.
Point. You are being saved to serve.
Le pulusitswe hore le gone ho sebetsa.
1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10.
1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The point, you are saved to serve. But you see here is that once you receive the touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received a helping hand so that you may rise up and do work for the ministry, rise up to do something for God. That you may rise up and serve the church at large. This woman only needed a touch from the Lord. And friends, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have believed in the power of the cross, if the blood of Christ has cleansed you from your sins, you have received a touch from the Lord. You have received the touch. The question is, when are you rising to serve? When are you going to serve the Lord? Maybe you are saying, I am serving the Lord. But are you serving the Lord faithfully? Is that what you are doing? Are you serving Him without complaining? Are you serving Him without murmuring? Is that you, my friend? The woman knew that he had received new strength. She had received something she never asked for. She had received something she never deserved. The only logical thing for her to do was to rise up and serve the Lord. That's all. If you have received such grace, something you didn't ask for, something you know you don't deserve, rise up, serve the Lord. Today you have Christians who are not willing to serve Jesus. They are not even willing to serve one another. They are not committed to the ministry of the Lord. They don't take things seriously. Oh, friends. Peter's mother-in-law did not only serve the Lord. She also served those who were in the house with her. I'm saying this because some Christians think that we will serve Jesus, but we won't serve others.
The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 verse 39,
the cross reference of the story we have before us,
It says
Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them.
It
is quite obvious then, friend, that she began by serving the Lord, but at the end of the day, when it was all being said and done, everybody in the house was served by this woman.
Serve the Lord,
serve the brethren. Another great lesson that we have here, you can see that we serve because we are saved. Not vice versa. We save because we are saved. We save because we have been saved from the garbage of sin. We have been rescued from the jaws of hell. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We have been snatched from the garbage of sin unto the marvelous light of God. That's why we serve. We don't serve so that we get saved, but we serve because we are saved. So, in other words, I'm expecting the saved to save.
Is that
you, my friend? One of the ways in which we serve the Lord as the saved
is through
evangelism. Our heart's desire to communicate the gospel truth to everyone. A deliberate act of communicating and confronting people with the truth of Scripture, aiming to shine the light of Christ in their darkened hearts so that Christ may shine on them and save them and put them or set them in a local church. We want to serve so that we may see the glory of God. We serve in this church. We serve the Lord with our gifts and talents. We serve the Lord with our finances. We serve the Lord with everything and in everything. So friends, the question is not whether you want to serve the Lord or not.
No.
The question is, are you serving the Lord faithfully or not? Because you should be serving. That is the question. The mother-in-law rose and served, reminding us that each and every child of God is called to serve. When Jesus raised you from the dead, the death of sin, He did that so that you may serve Him. That you may serve the church too. Not only should we learn from Peter's mother-in-law, friends, we must also learn from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When Jesus entered the house, He was tired from a long journey, but He didn't take a rest. He had not yet eaten from this house. No one had washed his feet or anything.
Yet,
he put the concern first. He entered the house, saw the woman sick,
raised
his hand, touched her, and healed her. He put her first. Who do you put first, yourself
or the Lord?
Put
yourself first or the children of God?
Do you
put yourself first or your family, friends?
I don't think it happens in this church whereby you find a husband at McDonald's eating McDonald's alone and the children are starving at home. I'm not hoping that is what is happening here. He put the concern first. But as we speak of a physical healing here, we must be reminded, friends, that people are perishing out there. Indeed, they are perishing with physical infirmities. But above all, they are perishing because of spiritual sickness. They need a Savior who will save them, primarily saving them from their spiritual death hearts. They need a Savior who will touch them. Touch them internally and then touch them on the outside. A Savior. His name is Jesus. Only He is able to touch the inside and the outside. That is what this world needs. This is the man we need in our houses and homes. This is the man we need in our job situation, at school, everywhere we are. We need this Savior. Not a Jesus who will heal people on the outside while their sick soul continues to perish. My friends, are you saved? If you are saved, are you saving the Lord? If you are saved, are you humble like the Lord? Or you have made it your job to discriminate? To be choosy and particular? Where do you stand? I'm
going
to close like this, my friends. God might have allowed sickness to come into your home. But Jesus must always be welcome in that home. What am I saying? Your hope is Jesus. Maybe it's not just sickness. Maybe you're the only person saved in your own house. Don't close the door for Jesus. Live a life that shines Christ in your home. That He may enter your house and touch the sick. Give them strength that they may rise and serve Him. Jesus is a humble Savior, my friend. So don't think that your poverty will stop Jesus from coming to your house. Friends, not even your riches. Don't think that your riches attracts Jesus to your house.
Grace
alone. And it is sin and sin alone that will chase the Lord Jesus Christ out of your home. But He is gracious and merciful that when you call upon His name, He will come in.
Remember,
there is no little concern with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the manichest details of your life, He cares for. Your little afflictions will cause Him to incline His ear unto you. Only thing you need to do, walk with Him. Live with Him. That's what you need. Make sure that you cast all your burdens upon Him. Make everything known to Him. Remember, you are healed to serve. You are saved to serve. Rise.
Emma.
Serve the Lord. Rise.
Emma.
Save the brethren.
Sebeletsa badumedi.
Rise.
Ema.
Save your family.
Sebeletsa baheno.
Rise.
Ema.
Save the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sebeletsa phutheo ya Morena Jesu.
The Lord bless you.
Ndimo alsonofat.
Amen.
Amen.